We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Oh, and a pleasant good afternoon to everyone out there in Irish Breakdown land. Welcome to April 2nd, and also known as Spring Break. Boop, boop. And so that allows me to come on and be an OG with my boy Brian in the afternoon show on the big show. So
you're excited. Always an OG, Vince. It just gives a chance for the OGs to come together.
That's right.
So whether you're on with Sean at night, whether you're on with me, you're always an OG, man. Always the original OG.
That's right.
Right. There's me, then you, and then everybody else. So
that's right.
I'm ready
that's
to roll, right. Man. We're gonna have some fun today.
Absolutely. Yeah, we got some good stuff to talk about. So I'm basically, you know, kind of inundating the show that Brian was already gonna do, but I'm excited about it. We're gonna talk some secondary with Clarence Lewis deciding to pack up and head out. We're gonna talk about tight ends because that is, for the first time in a while, tight ends are kind of a question mark at Notre Dame. And so we're going to talk about tight ends. And then we're going to do a little bit of a college football topic. And with the Power Four, that's still a weird comment or statement to make. I'm still, you know.
The Pac-12 anyway. Still is a thing. It's just not a power.
Yeah, it's just not a real thing anymore. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to talk about the Power Four, and they are – all of them are enhancing their conference to different degrees this season. So we're going to talk about
changing them.
That's right. We're going to rank them.
Could debate whether they're enhanced or not.
We're
enhanced
exactly.
In size.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Depends on how you want to use the word enhanced. Yeah. But we're going to talk about maybe, and we're going to rank them, you know, who did the best at enhancing essentially.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to have a fun conversation about that.
And
so
that'll be followed in future weeks in shows with us, where we'll kind of go, we'll take each conference individually,
right,
and break down how they're impacted more in detail, how each school fits into each league,
right,
where they should fit project in 2024. Was this a good move for them? Was this not a good move for them? All that stuff, man. So this is going to set up future shows as well, which I'm excited about.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very excited about that. And hopefully Brian and I can tackle some of those shows together, depending on when we roll them out, because we got a lot of shows between now and the season, but we are right in the middle of spring or of spring ball, right? And after, it's funny, I've been going to all these different schools with my kid, and it's funny how different schools, you know, talk about their spring practices, right? So it's practice number 6. It's opportunity number right. 6. It, you know, all these different ways right. to
all
go
the coach
about
speak.
It. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So after opportunity number 6, Clarence right. Lewis has decided to enter his name in the transfer portal, which of course he can do because he is a graduate and there is no window for graduate transfers. They can put their name in whenever they want and start talking to schools and all of those different things. So Clarence Lewis has decided after practice 6, this is when I'm going to do it. So Brian, I know you kind of talked about it a little bit on the Mailbag show yesterday. We talked about it a little bit last night on Ivy Nation Sports Talk. Mine and Sean's were more of a, this is how this feels right now. You know, something must have taken place. That was my opinion. Something must have taken place over the last couple of days to kind of really cement the writing on the wall for Clarence Lewis and maybe what his role was going to be moving forward. But I, you know, you probably have a little bit more insight than I do on that. So I'll throw it to you and we can kind of talk about this, wrap it up, and how it's going to affect the team moving forward.
Yeah, we're going to put a little bow on the situation with Clarence specifically, and then we'll kind of spend even more time on, okay, how does this impact the roster moving forward, you know, present and future of the roster. Right. And when it comes to Clarence, you know, Vince, you and I have been talking since December about there's a chance that Clarence Lewis is going to be gone at some point in time.
Sure.
And when you kind of see how his usage went this year, you kind of understand. And it's one of the things we'll discuss later is just what this means for Notre Dame and what it shows that a guy that was a two-year starter is now leaving because of opportunity. But essentially what it came down to is, you know, Clarence had done everything that you hope a guy would do in his situation, which is he came here, he was in good academic standing from everything I've ever heard.
Yep.
Got his degree. He's now a graduate. Because even if he's a fifth year eligibility wise, if he's not graduate, it's the being a graduate.
It's having that paper
to transfer whenever. Yeah. So he could be a true, like Xavier Watts could have left at any point in time last summer, last fall, whatever, because the fact he was a graduate, he had already graduated, even though he would have been a true senior. So it's the graduate part of it that you look at it. And, you know, with Clarence, it's just one of those things where the way that the staff had recruited the secondary, he had just kind of slowly been, you know, pushed down the depth chart, came in as a freshman, helped Notre Dame out a bunch that first season, you know, and played over 400 snaps that season. And when Tariq Bracey had his sort of just, he just got shook against North Carolina and he was just not the same guy the rest of the year. Clarence stepped into the lineup that game and settled things down in the second half and then remained the starter for the rest of the year as a cornerback for Notre Dame. Comes out the next year again, and he's a starter for Notre Dame. Played over this is a corner Pro Football Focus, played over 800 snaps for Notre Dame that year. He was the starting corner opposite Cam Hart in 2021. And so you're talking about a guy, his first 2 years played over 1,200 snaps. And then Mike Mickens' recruiting effect starts to really take hold. You've got that freshman class in 2022 of Benjamin Morrison and Jaden Mickey, who both came in and Tariq Bracey moves into the slot. He's the nickel. Clarence sees his snaps go from 421 as a freshman to 832 as a sophomore to 384 in year two. Started the year as a starter. Actually began the year as a starter. He actually started against Ohio State, played over 40 snaps in the first two games, played 38 against Cal. And then the next 2 weeks played 10, 7, you know, 48 against Stanford, 32, 17, 27, 25, 21, 22, rest of the regular season. And the reason for that is because that's about when Benjamin Morrison kind of emerged as the starter at cornerback opposite Cam Hart. And then Jaden Mickey started playing more and more. And so he was basically the third, sometimes fourth outside cornerback in that rotation. Now he did bring value because he could play outside. He could play, you know, he could play boundary, he could play field. And so there was value there to what Clarence could do. And then of course, last year, even though he was healthy all year, Clarence played a career low 236 snaps. And you had obviously the depth of cornerback. You had Cam Hart and Benjamin Morrison coming back. You had Jaden Mickey going to his sophomore year. And then of course, Christian Gray comes in and plays a big role for Notre Dame. Now Clarence, you know, did have some moments where he played a decent amount, but he didn't play a ton last year. The most snaps he had all year was against Louisville, where he had 35 snaps. Now, there were two games last year he played less than 10 snaps. Not that he was injured, just there were better players.
Yeah, it's the coach's decision is what I mean.
Yeah, and the writing was on the wall. You know, he kind of spent a lot of time at nickel last year, sort of the number two nickel behind Thomas Harper. So Thomas Harper had a really good season. And then, of course, you've got Cam Hart and Benjamin Morrison outside. And then, you know, Jaden Mickey's kind of that number three corner. And then Christian Gray starts to get playing time, who's just a more natural fit to what, you know, what he's doing. And so, or to what Al Golden is doing. And that's really a lot of what this boils down to. Clarence was recruited to play in a certain type of defense, which is more off man, zone, those type of things. That's more of what Clark Lee did. Al Golden's defense is more, with the corners especially, is more of a man coverage defense. And as we saw in 2022, Clarence struggled with that. He was a guy that struggled. He'd get beat deep, you know, just because that's just not his, just coming up playing press man as a boundary corner and running with guys vertical is just not his thing. There's a lot of things that Clarence does well. It's just sometimes that happens when there's coaching changes. You were a good fit for what we did previously, but you're just not the fit for that anymore. And you come into this spring and there was already some talk at the end of the season that he could be a transfer candidate. He was always on my short list of guys that I expected to leave at some point in time. And the reason for that was, is he just wasn't going to start next year. He wasn't going to you know, beat out Benjamin Morris. He wasn't going to beat out Christian Gray. Wasn't going to beat out Jaden Mickey. And then when Notre Dame went out and got Jordan Clark, okay, now what's his role going to be at nickel?
Yeah.
And Micah Bell's coming along. And that, and I think that's, for me, the final thing that I think led to Clarence being gone, is it was becoming more and more obvious that Clarence was not even going to be the number two nickel this year. That's Micah Bell now. Then when Benjamin Morrison got hurt and he was kind of thrust into the boundary position, again, this is my opinion, my read on it, the chance to battle at nickel, battle at field, maybe play some safety was gone because he had to play that boundary corner position. And it's like the writing was then on the wall that I'm not going to play a lot more than I did last year.
Yeah.
Because you say, well, he could take advantage of all those reps of Benjamin out. Guys, when Benjamin comes back, those reps are gone.
Right.
And he missed that chance to compete in the nickel and outside and all that stuff. So it just became very clear that he had been over-recruited. And
yeah,
it's a bummer for the kid, but that's what good programs are supposed to do.
Right.
You have a good player, try to get a great player. That's what they did. They went from him to Cam Harton, Benjamin Morrison. And then you bring in better players and Jaden Mickey and Christian Gray. And it was going to be hard for him as well in the fall because you're bringing in Leonard Moore and Carson Hobbs. And I still feel like playing him at safety a couple years ago would have been the move. I will continue to say this, especially in 2023, when you did have Christian Gray in as a true freshman, you had Micah Bell coming as a true freshman, that was the time where the move to safety should have happened. And it didn't.
Yep.
And by the time they started talking about maybe cross, I think it was too late. Now it's like, hey, let's develop Adon, let's develop Luke, let's develop, you know, Ben, bring in a transfer and Rod Hurd. And so I think it just was one of those things where Notre Dame looked at Clarence Lewis and said, and I'll tell you this, every coach I know, every parent I know of a player, every player I know, I have never heard a bad word about Clarence Lewis. By any of them, love them all. Love C-Lew.
Oh yeah, C-Lew. Yeah,
you know, great kid. Blah blah blah. And I believe all of it, right? But at the same time, you can love a kid and know that if we want to beat Bama, if we want to beat Georgia, if we want to beat Ohio State, if we want to beat these guys, we need better players. And that's why Clarence only played 3 snaps against Ohio State. That's why he only played 7 snaps against Clemson. Right. That's only played 15 against Duke. I mean, that's just the reality of it, you know, Vince. And then a lot of his 23 snaps against USC were later in the game when it started to kind of get a little bit out of hand.
Yeah.
And Thomas Harper got a little banged up at times. And he only played as much as he did because of, at times, Thomas Harper was a little banged up. Right. Because I remember what game was that Thomas Harper actually missed a game last year for the life. It's out of my head right now. But
yeah,
you know, that's a game where Clarence got a lot of snaps. But that was the reality. He just was not going to be playing there. And so right. Clarence is, if you're Clarence, like there's loyalty, right? And then there's, at some point in time, I've got to make sure I'm looking out for myself. That's okay for young people to have. It's he had been a good teammate. He'd served. He played his 4 years. He'd done what he needed to do. He stepped in when it was needed. Now it's about, okay, I got to look out. This is my last chance to play. This is my last chance. The odds of him being an NFL football player, very, very slim.
Sure.
This is his last chance to play college football. So does he give a fifth year to Notre Dame that only exists because of the COVID season? Or does he say, you know what? My last year, I want to play more. So I'm going to go to a Rutgers. I'm going to go to a Syracuse. I'm going to go to a Duke or whatever. Like, I'm okay with that. My only issue is I don't love the fact that he did it in the middle of the spring.
Right.
After Benjamin Morrison got hurt. And I know he can, but, you know, you did it basically at the end of March. Why not just see out the next couple of weeks, put some more – you're going to get a ton of – here's my thing. If I was advising him, dude, you're going to get a ton of boundary reps in the spring.
And film.
That's exactly right. We will cut up every great rep you have in practice.
Because Notre Dame would do that for him, right?
Yes, 100%. I mean, they love Clarence.
This isn't like Colorado where they weren't going to give like practice film and stuff like that to transfers.
They would have done all that, I would imagine.
Right.
I'd be shocked if they weren't willing to do that.
Me too.
And say, hey, we'll send all the one-on-one reps. Every good rep you have, we'll send to people, you know, and help you get where you need to get to, but help us get through the spring.
Right.
I don't know if that conversation happened. I'm saying that's what I would have done.
Yeah.
If I was Notre Dame and if I was advising Clarence, I would have said that, hey, you're going to get a million reps this spring. Good reps of in boundary.
Right.
Go out there, do what you're going to do. Remember the last open practice we saw, Clarence had two really good plays. He had a pressure. He had a pass breakup. Like, there was going to be a lot of chance for him to do that. And that could have put some good film together. Because now it's like, well, what – they're not going to evaluate you on your last two seasons. And that's not great film. You know, you're not playing a ton. And so that's what I would like to see done. But at the end result, I expected and I understand it. I completely do, Vince. We and I have been there in that at some point in time, my career is about to come to an end, right? There, I had no illusions of playing in the National Football League. You had no, you know, you weren't going to go play.
I had no illusions of playing in college.
Right. And so you kind of know, like, this is my last chance.
Right.
Well, that's what this is for Clarence. And so if he wants to play, because he could say, well, maybe I won't play a ton, but we might compete for a championship in Notre Dame. That's fine. That's one way to go. But he decided, but I want to play.
Yeah.
And I don't fault him for that. I just, I don't even fault him for the timing. I just don't like the timing.
That's fair. From a, and I don't even know if this is a devil's advocate. Like, I'm trying to look at it from his point of view, right? So the portal for everybody else opens in what, a week and a half or something like that?
Yeah, he's getting a head start on it.
So he's getting a head start. That's
just dumb, by the way. It should not be opening that quickly. I think that's absolutely stupid.
Oh, you're talking about the window itself.
The window is dumb.
Okay, agreed. Yes. Because it's right in the middle of both people's spring practices and everything else. Not to mention, and I know this is way off the beaten path, but the basketball transfer portal is open right now. While teams are competing
during the NCAA tournament. Like, it's so stupid.
That is the dumbest thing.
And the point is, Vince, is you're almost forcing Clarence's hand.
Yes.
That's the problem. Yes. You're almost, it's like everybody's mad at all these kids that jumped in the portal before bowl games. Oh, see this. They have no choice.
Correct.
Because of when they open the portal. Because if Clarence waits until after the spring, the portal's going to be open for a week.
Right.
And all these other kids are.
Yeah. Those spots are going to be taken. Like he almost has to do it now, or should have done it before spring.
That's where I would have said, Vince. Yeah. I would have said, hey, you know, go through winter workouts, kind of see how things are going, and then you kind of have an idea going into spring ball, saying, hey, look, this isn't going to be here for me.
Right. Right.
So, but again, I also, you know, look, he wanted to compete and battle for that position. And when it became clear that he wasn't going to be that, that's, you know, so again, I'm not mad at the kid. I just don't like the timing of it.
Right.
It's like I said in the fall when kids were jumping in the portal before the bowl game. I don't like it, but I don't necessarily blame them because the rules were set. This is when you got to do it. You've created a system in which if a kid wants to find a new home, he has to do it now.
Right.
That's the sad reality of the game.
Right.
And I don't like it. But I understand, you know, I've always said there's a time and a place when you've got to be all about the team.
Yeah.
And then there is a time and a place when it's appropriate to say what's best for me. And that's what Clarence is doing. And that's it's just the reality of it.
So let's kind of talk about how this now affects Notre Dame from a depth standpoint, because I'm guessing, and again, this is Vince talking, I'm guessing from a coaching standpoint, you want Clarence Lewis around. No, number one, he's a great leader. Yes. He's a great person. He adds multi-positional depth to your secondary.
Tons
he's a
of
guy
experience.
That I guarantee you, they're like, are you sure this is what you want to do?
No.
We support you, but there is a spot on this roster for you. We'd love to keep you. And now he's decided to move on. And again, we don't blame the kid, but how does this affect Notre Dame? There's now a gaping hole, in my opinion, in the depth of the secondary, which I think will become even more, you know, obvious as time moves on. But like, it's hard. Let's go from the now moving to the future. So from the now, what does this look like for spring ball with no number six anymore?
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So when we talk about short term, we're talking about spring ball. Right. And then we'll talk about fall, and then we'll talk about the future. Short term, this is a negative for Notre Dame in a couple ways. Number one, with Benjamin Morrison out, that's where it gets troublesome. If Benjamin Morrison wasn't out, it's no problem. You've got Benjamin sure. in the boundary. Chance Tucker now gets all those number two boundary reps. It's a great opportunity for Chance Tucker. Like if Chance, somebody asked the other day on the message board, maybe it was in the show, is Chance Tucker a viable candidate to play there? Like, well, I don't know. We're going to find out though.
Yeah, we are.
Right? Like, you know, I've always liked Chance as a player. The coaches have always spoke highly of him, but it's just there were just better players in front of him. That's just the reality. Well, now Chance gets his chance to go prove himself to say, hey, I can do what Clarence Lewis did or not, but this is his chance to prove it. And so he's going to get a ton of reps. It's good for him. But if Benjamin was still there, he'd still get a lot of reps, but you could leave Christian Gray to the field. The problem now is Christian Gray is going to have to be playing both. Or they're just going to straight and move him to the boundary, which then creates an issue of, okay, so if Jaden Mickey's now the number one field because Christian's now the number one boundary, does that by default make Jaden the starting field corner in the fall? Do you start this battle over again? Do you evaluate Christian for the job he did in the boundary and that's part of the competition? Like, those are legitimate questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we always knew that this was eventually going to happen for Christian. He was eventually going to transition into the boundary when Benjamin left. That was always kind of the plan. But he's now trying to battle for the starting field corner position. And it's a different position. It is. I mean, the way that Notre Dame does it, you watch Cam Hart and how he plays and how Benjamin Morrison plays, and it's different. Yeah. At times it's the same, but you see a lot more off man to the field. Where in the boundary, it's, here I am. Let's roll.
Right.
You know? And so that's part of it as well. And so does this stunt Christian Gray's development to be the starter at the field? Could it enhance it? I think you can make a case for both, Vince, but the reality is Christian Gray is now off script for how his spring was supposed to go. Now, the benefit is long-term. We'll talk about that. But short-term, this messes things up. And now you really only have, unless I'm forgetting someone, 3 scholarship outside corners, right? And because Benjamin's out, Leonard Moore and Carson Hobbs aren't here yet, and Clarence just left. So you've got Jaden Mickey, Christian Gray, and Chance Tucker, and then Ryan Barnes obviously left after the season. So I'm going to pull up the Notre Dame the spring depth chart we did for Notre Dame, and just to make sure that I'm not forgetting someone, but that's kind of. You know, that's kind of where we're at with this one, Vince. Is
I'm looking at it right now.
You're a little light on numbers right now, and so that's something that I'm looking at it now. So yeah, you had Jaden, Christian, Benjamin, Clarence, and Chance, and then you have Isaiah Dunn, but he's a walk on, and I think he's been a little banged up this spring as well, Vince.
Micah so Bell,
Isaiah Dunn.
No, I'm saying do you. Where's Micah Bell?
No, outside corners.
Oh, gotcha.
So now that's the other thing with Micah is Micah's been playing solely in the slot.
Right.
Does Micah now have to take some outside reps, which to me, again, is not ideal because right now he's still trying to learn that slot position to where he can be that number two and maybe take those 280-some reps that Clarence Lewis got last year in the nickel.
Right.
And now he's got to go outside if that were the if that's what they decide.
Right.
That could be it too. And maybe that could be good for Micah. Maybe it could be a hindrance to Micah. But he's really developing in the slot. And the hope is, from what I'm told, is that Jordan holds that down this year. Micah develops. He's the number two. He gets a lot of playing time, but he doesn't have to be the guy. And then next year, as a redshirt sophomore, they don't need to go to the portal again to get a starter there.
Right.
Micah can become that guy. They may go to the portal again for that, but it'd be more for depth or someone to battle Micah. But the thought is,
right,
with Thomas Harper, that's going to be our starting nickel. With Jordan Clark, that's going to be our starting nickel. If they go back to the portal again next year, it's going to be Mike is our starting nickel. This guy's got to compete with him and, right, and provide depth. That's kind of where it's at. So does this if you move Micah, then you're kind of stunting his progress there because he's such a raw player. So it has it's a ripple effect.
It's a domino
throughout all of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, for sure.
It really does. And so that's why you don't want him to leave. And it's not just him leaving. It's the combination of him leaving right after Benjamin's shoulder injury.
Right.
And that's where you're at. So a position where you really liked your depth for this spring now becomes pretty thin because you just lost two guys.
Yeah.
Big picture, they're going to be okay, should be okay in the fall because Jaden's getting a ton of field reps. Benjamin doesn't necessarily need a ton of spring reps. He got some. He got like three or four practices under his belt. Yeah. It is what it is. I mean, he's a stud. He can get it all back this summer and in the fall. But it's that other stuff. You know, how does this impact Christian's development? How does it impact Micah's development? And that's really more of the bigger concern for me. Now, okay, does that mean if they've got to move Christian to the boundary and Micah outside, then do they have to get one of the safeties now down playing more than nickel? You see what I'm saying? So, like, this just has a really big ripple effect throughout the secondary depth chart.
Sure.
And when you consider that four of your secondary players, or actually five of the guys that you expect to be part of your secondary in the fall, aren't even part of the team right now. So you've got those five plus Benjamin's out. So six guys that are going to be part of your football team in the fall are not practicing with you, because you count Benjamin, Rod Hurd is a transfer, plus the two freshman corners, Leonard Moore and Carson Hobbs, plus the two freshman safeties that aren't here yet in Bronte Johnson and Tabron Benny Powell. So now all of a sudden, you know, at corner, you're looking a little thin.
Yeah.
Now, good news is you're halfway through spring. The other part of the good news is that's a lot of reps for those guys, but it's practice every other day. It's not like it is in the fall. If this was in the fall, they'd have to, okay, who are we moving to corner?
Yeah.
They'd have to sit down and move.
You need bodies. You need bodies. Yeah.
When you're practicing every day for 25, 36 straight days, basically a couple breaks here and there, getting ready for the season, it'd be
you got to manage reps. You got to do all these
summer reps.
Yeah. And you've got a game every six, seven days.
Too, and so the summer, you're going to have Carson Hobbs in the summer. You're going to have Leonard Moore this summer. Isaiah Dunn should be healthy. You're going to get Benjamin Morrison back this summer to at least be able to run around and take some of those reps. So it's a tight spot, Vincent. As somebody, Joe Marciano, just said in the chat, this is one of those things where, okay, do we have to maybe think about looking for depth in the portal now to replace Clarence?
I think you've got an eye to the portal.
You have to at least think about it. But here's the problem. Even with Clarence gone, you're still over 85.
Yes, I think you're 88. Does that sound
88,
right?
I believe, is where they're at right now. So you're still over. So it's a tough spot. Now, I mean, that part of it doesn't impact them as much as I think you might think it does, because in my opinion and some of the things I've heard, there was always an understanding that he was probably going to leave.
Okay.
You know, like he wasn't gonna, when they got out of spring, if he was getting beat out like some people thought might happen, that he was eventually gonna leave anyway. So I don't think the staff has caught like, oh no, what do we do now? And if it's Benjamin Morrison wasn't hurt, I don't think this is even a conversation.
Right. It's just more the timing and the bodies that they've got for spring. I mean, that's exactly. That's the biggest issue that the coaches have right now. Because you're right. I think they're gonna be fine in the fall. And again, like you said, if they kind of had an idea that this was coming, because when coaches have an idea that something's coming or even an inkling that something is coming, they've got an alternative plan. Like they've got, you know, a way to go about that, whatever that is, right? And so they're just having to kind of speed up that plan. I mean, that's really all it is, and having to adapt it for spring, which, you know, is it a pain in the neck in the now? Yeah, it's a pain in the neck for the now, and you hope that it doesn't affect things negatively moving forward. But I just, I feel like they've got enough talent and they've got enough depth, especially with the freshmen getting here in June, where they're going to be just fine. It's just, how do they get through the next, nine practices? I think they'll be fine.
But I'll say this, they're fine as long as they don't lose anybody else.
Well, okay, fair enough.
You know what I mean? Like, they get to the spring, you're like, look, if they've got healthy Benjamin Morrison, a healthy Christian Gray, healthy Jade Mickey, healthy Chance Tucker, they're fine.
Yeah.
But what if Benjamin or Christian or Jaden goes down with a significant long-term injury? You know, like now all of a sudden you're not as fine and you're forced to play one of the freshmen.
Now you've got a freshman in the 2 deep.
Right. Where last year Christian played and was in the 2 deep because he beat out older players.
He earned it.
Exactly. Now it's like with Cam gone, with Ryan Barnes gone, with Clarence Lewis gone, and now all of a sudden an injury. Now one of your freshmen has to play.
Right. Because if everybody's healthy.
Same thing with Benjamin Morrison the year before. Benjamin Morrison didn't start because he had to. He started because he beat out a 2-year starter at that position. And so it's now that doesn't mean Leonard Moore or Carson Hobbs couldn't handle it. It's just the reality of it. So,
right.
Again, if Benjamin Morrison is healthy, he's the one at the boundary. You've got a ton of reps for Chance Tucker. Christian could take some, you could cross train him a little in some one-on-ones and some team segments, but him and Jaden are still battling the field. Now it just throws the whole thing into flux because it's the culmination of all the different things that have happened at that position. And it's really thrown it into flux
for the short term. Because at the end of the day, once you get to fall and you get to summer, your 2 deep should be, pending any injuries, your 2 deep should be no true freshmen. Because no coach wants to go into the season counting on a true freshman to give you legitimate minutes, unless it's a transcendent guy, whatever. You don't want to count on that. You want to count on the known, right? And right now you don't know what a true freshman is going to give you. And so you're as a coach, you're feeling really good about the fact, okay, we're going into the summer, into the fall. I've got a 2 deep on day one. And there's no true freshman on the 2 deep. Now, could those true freshmen battle it out and get onto the 2 deep? Awesome possibility. But that's not how you want to go into the fall with them already there getting second team reps. Like that's just, as a coach, that's not where you want to be. You just don't. And again, if a guy surprises you or even your expectation is that he overtakes somebody, great. Awesome. But that's just not how you want to enter fall camp. As a coach.
Well, and there's some other things that people have brought up that are worth addressing too, Vince. And like Salty Virginia Peanut says, why not leave everyone where they are and let Tucker eat up all the extra reps? That's one dude.
For two teams. Like,
so if you're doing first team, second team, third team, all right?
That's a lot.
Especially if Isaiah Dunn can't go. And then what about one-on-ones? Who takes those one-on-one boundary reps? So it's just not practical.
You need bodies.
Yeah, in order to do that.
Yeah.
It's just not practical, in my opinion.
Right.
And so, and then somebody else brought up, Joe Marciano brought up, what about if Chance Tucker jumps in the portal after the spring?
Uh-huh.
Look, if you're Chance, it's like, look, if I'm not going to be playing a lot when Benjamin comes back, and I don't know if he is or isn't. I have no clue. I know Chance is a very pro Notre Dame kid, but he's also, I believe, either – I don't think he's going to graduate at the end of the spring, but he's getting close.
He's got to be close because he's he's going to be a senior.
Yeah.
Xavier
graduated in 3 years, and Chance is a pretty smart kid. So hopefully he doesn't leave, but this is where we are, and Chance still has a couple years left, also because he redshirted his first year. He's part of the 21 class.
Right. He's in junior eligibility.
Yeah, so he still has 2 seasons left. So it's a little less immediate for him than like it was for Clarence.
Right.
So hopefully he sticks it out. But but again, this is a great chance for us to learn. Like, is this now when Chance Tucker gets his shot? And it is wild to be talking about Chance Tucker going into senior year. Because it felt like just yesterday we're like, talking about him as a freshman and I didn't have him ranked real high, but I just kind of felt like he's one of those kids that's going to make me look bad. And be better than I thought he was going to be. Well, this is his chance.
Yeah, for sure.
To be that. And he's one of those kids that's easy to root for. if you know him or his family at all, super easy to root for that kid.
Sure.
Super easy to root for that kid. And he's another kid that I'll just tell you a story. I know someone that is very close to him, and he was approached after Benjamin's freshman year about maybe leaving. And he was like, I'm not leaving. I love Notre Dame. You know what I mean? Like, and he came here to get his degree. He's just one of those kids that gets it, man. Just a really sharp kid. And, you know, he's also one of those kids that I always thought had his development stunted because he was a senior during the COVID season in California, where, like, they didn't play in the fall and they played this, like, really short, like, 3-game season in the spring. They didn't practice all fall. I think that really hurt his development. And then, of course, he's just not getting a ton of reps at Notre Dame. Well, this is a great chance to get those reps.
Yeah.
If he's healthy. And I don't know if he is or isn't. We haven't seen him a ton. I hope he is healthy because this is a great chance for him to say, hey, look, we're okay. I got that number two boundary spot locked down, coach. Clarence is gone. Hate to see it. We love Clarence as a teammate, but I got you. I got you. We'll see if he does it. That's why I'm looking forward to the full practice next week.
Yeah.
I think it's next Saturday because I'm, you know,
13th. Yeah.
Very curious to see what they're going to do here. But then I want to see, you know, how does Chance step up and do this? How are the safeties performing? What are they doing with Micah Bell? How's Micah Bell doing? So there's a lot of uncertainty here. Now, as far as the future, Vince, this doesn't really impact the team a ton because Clarence was done after this year anyway. Like, this was his last potential season anyway.
Yeah, true.
But it does highlight the idea that if with Clarence gone through graduation, and if Benjamin's the player we hope he is, he is going to go pro next year, and every Notre Dame fan should be rooting for Benjamin Morrison to be going pro next year.
Because that means he had an amazing year. He's
healthy. Exactly. Yeah. And, okay, so now you could potentially be going to 2025 with Christian Gray, Jade Mickey, and the two freshmen, Carson Hobbs and Leonard Moore. That's it. So it's imperative, potentially, but I don't know that he would come back for a fifth season.
Fair enough.
I don't know how much sense that would make.
Yeah, fair enough.
Would make more sense. Get your degree and then go find somewhere, even if it's like Cal Poly or just somewhere where you can go play ball for a year.
Right.
You got your Notre Dame degree. You were part of some really good football teams. You were a great teammate. You did everything right. Now go get your final chance to play.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and if you're Notre Dame, that would make sense too, because who would I rather develop for that backup job? The guy that's going to replace Christian Gray if he goes? Because here's the thing, Vince, if Christian is who we think he is, then 25 might be his last season.
Sure.
It might be Jaden Mickey's last year at Notre Dame, because Jaden will be then a senior, and Jaden never redshirted. So this is how quickly this all goes. 25, you don't expect to have Benjamin Morrison. Jaden Mickey will be a senior, out of eligibility after 25. And Christian Gray, if he's the player we think he is,
he'll be gone too.
Is gone. So by just in 2 years, 26, there's the potential that Notre Dame will have no Cam Hart, no Clarence Lewis, no Benjamin Morrison, no Jaden Mickey, and no Christian Gray.
Wow.
Which means it puts in – now you understand why this 25 corner class is, number one, so important, and number two, potentially so big.
Yeah.
People have asked, why would they want to bring in four corners? Two reasons. One is just what I said. Because if Mike Mickens does his job and these corners are as good as we think they're going to be, after 2025, they're all gone. All these kids are gone. And so now it's like, well, that's a lot of pressure on Leonard Moore and Carson Hobbs. They may be your starters in 26, but who's your backups? Who's your number three? So you're in that's the world you're in. You know,
and welcome to college football.
Yeah. And so it's,
and that doesn't even count for transfers.
Yes, exactly. What if somebody leaves?
Yeah.
Right. and what if somebody has a debt, or what if somebody doesn't pan out
or has an injury?
Now it's imperative that you get at least three in the 26 class or 25 class. But now you guys understand why they're doing potentially four. Plus, they would like to have that nickel be more of a corner, ideally.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of those guys, whether it's Cree Thomas, whether it's Jameer Joseph, whether it's, you know, Mark Zachary, Dallas Golden, there's Tristan Haynes, like all the corners on the board. One of them eventually kind of is that a guy that could also play nickel.
Yeah.
And so that's another reason why that four is important. But it's not just about the nickel. It's also about the fact that at once going into these kids' sophomore seasons, they will be in the two deep regardless. Unless some freshman beats him out. you know, and if they get the right guys, if they get Dallas Golden, if they get Mark Zachary, if they get Jameer Joseph or Tristan Haynes or some of these guys, those guys are good enough to come in and say, hey, I can play as a freshman. And as a sophomore, I'm starting.
It's go time.
I'm beating somebody out. So I could easily see going into 2026, it's like, you know, on one side you got Leonard Moore, and on the other side you've got Dallas Golden or Mark Zachary or somebody like that. I mean, I could easily see that. And so that's why it's so important. This 25 recruiting class of cornerback is incredibly important, that you get multiple players that can play now, right now. It's a very important for that. And the Clarence Lewis thing doesn't add to that. It just opens our eyes to it, because there's no Benjamin, there's no Clarence. And now you're like, this might quickly be the depth chart in 25.
Right.
This might be where you are. And so you're going to need that freshman class to – you're going to need the 24 kids to be as good as you hope, and you're going to need the 25 class to be big time.
Right.
And that's where they're at.
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.